video. We're here to talk about video. It's a thing. Let's make it our thing. I have been doing video as part of my social media experience for the past 3 years on a weekly basis just to develop content. And so I made a lot of mistakes over the past 3 years, including what I just did. That was a mistake, right? But I'm here to kind of help share the tips and tricks to hopefully help you avoid some of those mistakes and get right to making great videos and getting good ROI. But first, see if my clicker will work. First, we want to actually give you some background on me. I think it's important for you to understand kind of where I've come from, why I'm here on this stage today to offer you some advice. So as Brianna said, I've been doing social media as a profession for nearly 8 years now. I started in higher ed in a B2C organization, online university for 5 years. I then transferred to B2B, which was super challenging, not only because it was B2B, but we were a software company that couldn't talk about the product that we made because we would make it for third-party clients, and they didn't want us to talk about the fact that we made their software. So we couldn't market our end result product, and I had to figure out a way to create a social media strategy that people would care to listen to us and learn about what we do. And then I started working at my current organization, which you're going to find out about in a second. Slowly catching my breath. Okay, so things that you'll know about me, if you haven't already followed me on Twitter, I love coffee. I had a coffee like this called the Black Tie yesterday at, what's the name of the place? Local here. What? Pete's. Thank you. I couldn't remember. So Pete's Coffee, this obviously wasn't what it was served in, but this is as close to finding a picture of it as I could. I love biking. I commute to and from work. It's about a 50-minute ride in Minneapolis. Not in the winter, so I'm on a break right now. But I love it because it's the only time I can disconnect from social media for safety reasons. And I love just the freedom of being on my bike. But as Brianna mentioned, I work at Be The Match, and I'm a social media strategist for them. How many people here are familiar with Be The Match? Oh my gosh, that's exciting. So about half of the room. Out of those people, how many of you are on the Be The Match registry? Oh, that's so good. So there's about 10 of you. It's so exciting. So we're not a dating service, just so you know. Be The Match. This is important for me to tell you because you're going to see content from this organization as I'm talking about videos. So some context is helpful for you. But Be The Match is a nonprofit organization. They work essentially to save lives. We work, our main goal is to get people to join the registry of Be The Match. And it's a marrow donor registry. We have millions of people in the registry, and our end goal is when there's a patient in need that's suffering from a blood cancer like leukemia, they need to have a perfect match of marrow or stem cells in order to save their life. And we work hard to make sure that we can identify matches to help with the transplant and get them to live a longer, healthier life. And we have millions of people in the registry, but even with that, it's still very hard for those patients in need to find a match. I think it's about 1 in 450 is the chance that they'll find a match. So the more people we get to join the registry, which is what our goal is, the more lives we can save. So that's what the organization does. Very powerful mission. This is the office in Minneapolis where I work, and this is the front entrance. So it's a beautiful space. We have quite a powerful mission. I love working there. But you know, as far as how joining the registry works, because this is at the core of what we're marketing, essentially, building awareness to get people to join, instead of me talking about how it works when you create an account online and get a kit in the mail to swab your cheeks, a guy with more hair is probably better at telling you this, so have a listen. So like I said, he does a much better job than I do. Plus, that's a great example of a short video that gives you enough information to kind of help answer some questions. So that's who we are. And I want to take, before I kick off what we're going to be discussing throughout the next several minutes, this was a shot that was taken yesterday from my crew. You're laughing already? So this is most of you. Some of you had to leave a little early, but this was our workshop. We actually went through the exact same deck yesterday, but took a deep dive into a lot of these things. And so I think it was my crew that actually said, put this up on the in the deck. So, you're laughing, but I did it. So that's us. We had a good time, so I'm sorry in advance that you're going to have to listen to me say the exact same things over again, but hopefully it's enjoyable for you. Okay, so let's get into what we're going to actually discuss today. So there's four key areas that we're going to talk about And you know, we're going to start with strategy because I think anytime before you start anything, you want to make sure that you have an identified strategy and how it can tie into your overall marketing strategy. We're going to talk about hacks then. I call them hacks. It's a nice way to say, let's face it, we don't have a budget. We don't have resources. So how can we make this work? How can we actually produce videos that people would actually want to watch? So those are hacks. Lead gen is obviously very important to all of us. So we can show that leadership out in the organizations how this is actually driving results for your business. And then finally, production. Just some tips and tricks to make your videos pop as best as they could outside of all the other videos that are out there today. Okay? So let's get into strategy. Everyone's with me? I should almost make you do the woo every time I ask, but I won't do it. It'd be great, right? Okay, so like I said, you first want to determine how your video ties into your existing content strategy. Now, this sounds pretty, like, duh, of course, but let's dig into this, okay? So when you think about your videos and you think about your content strategy, first ask yourself a question, what is my defined content strategy for our marketing team as a whole? What's our end goal? You know, before, in my previous company, in the software company, our end goal was to educate people on how to do software really, really well. And through that value-add approach, we would educate people, and they would want to learn more about our organization. Here, our content strategy is around educating people on who Be The Match is and why they should be inspired to join the registry and potentially save a life one day. That's a very different thing, but that's our content strategy. So everything we do, all the videos that we put out there, we try to make sure that they're very real, authentic. They're actually mostly coming from the patients that send us videos from their phones. Some of the donors that are sharing their experience of donating their marrow or their stem cells to save someone's life. And this is raw content that we take, trim down, add a call to actions, and that ties into everything else that we do. When we do email marketing to potential donors, we have that kind of content strategy as well. When we do digital marketing outside of social, similar kind of content strategy. So you have to make sure that video ties into your existing content strategy. Otherwise, how are you going to define the ROI of your videos? So again, this is going to build on a lot of the stuff that we talk about, but keep this in mind. All right, so next, we want to focus on creating a compelling story to engage your audience. So when you think of a story, a good story, outside of video, just like a good book, from when you were a kid to now, what are the three key elements of a good story? Someone throw that out.
Plot.
Characters.
Beginning.
Anything else? You all mentioned three, so I guess you probably think. So yeah, those are good things, but even more simplistic than that, a good story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I mention this because we're in a world right now where we can make videos on the fly so quickly that we sometimes forget to think, is this really a story that's going to make sense to our audience? And an example of this is Instagram stories or Snapchat stories. We have the ability to whip out our phones and capture something that's happening right now, and you're just capturing that, and it's a 10-second clip, and you try to text and put some stuff in there, and your audience has to like absorb what's happening here instantly versus if you see a moment happening, you want to cover it, you take a moment and take a step back and say, let me set this up so my audience understands what I'm about to show them. Put a beginning in there and say, you know, hey, we're here at blah, blah, blah. We're doing this, this, and that. Let's give you guys a quick sneak peek of what's going on. Then the next screen is actually showing what's happening. There's your middle, your body, your core. And then when it's all done, wrap it up. Let them know that this is the end for now, but here's what you should stay tuned to for in the future. Like, that's it from us today. Stay tuned all week as we're covering the Super Bowl for a lot more exciting things that are happening here in Minneapolis. That's what we did last week, so we're in Minneapolis. So, you know, Instagram stories, Snapchat stories is a great example of doing that, but why not carry that through when you actually sit down with somebody or you have a tripod set up? Make sure that you set up the video, have that subject matter set up what they're talking about, because that's also going to be your hook, right? Your beginning's your hook to the story. You have like 5 seconds, probably even less than that, to hook people in to get them to keep watching or even click to watch. So if you don't hook them in the beginning with something that's really enticing, then they're probably not going to keep watching your video, let alone start watching your video. All right? So make sure that you focus on good storytelling for your audience. And then the last one is determine the ROI of your videos. So yesterday in the workshop, we went around the room and yelled out different things of like, what are ROI of videos? Every single answer was right, but you have to figure out what's going to be the best for you. So we were talking about, you know, video views, subscribers, likes, time watching, average time watching your videos, link clicks. Obviously, how much site traffic are you driving? How much conversions are you driving? It goes on and on and on. All these things are right, but there's a level of ROI for you and your team, and then there's a level of ROI for your leadership. You know, what does your leadership care about? What does your team need to know and care about? And obviously, what your team needs to know and care about is going to be probably more robust and more deeper than what the leadership needs to know. For us, leadership doesn't care about our subscribers. They don't care about how many views we get. I mean, they're nice things when they see them happening, but they want to know ultimately, like, how much site traffic is this driven? How's this video driven? And how many registrations did we get? How many more people did we get to join the registry? Because we have these many patients right now that are looking for a match. And by the way, I'm not kidding you when I say this. The mission at the company is so focused on that. Every time we talk about a strategy, we're talking about how are we helping to save lives. It's the coolest thing I've ever experienced in my life working at a company like that. But again, getting back to this, you have to define what your ROI for your team and also for leadership. They're going to be different. You got to figure out what that is. And it's also going to be different for every organization. All right, so hacks. Again, these are kind of like the tips and tricks that I've learned along the way by not having much resources, which I think is a lot of us in the room, yes? Can you raise your hand if you're low on resources? Okay, so everyone raised their hand. Okay, great. Okay, so the first tip here is audio. And I'll talk about this thing on the left in a second, but the reason why I want to bring this up is because we have in 2018, we have the ability to shoot great-looking video with our phones. Any iPhone, really, most high-end Android phones can shoot beautiful video. We can have, you know, DSLRs like this that'll shoot even better video. Whatever your camera is, it's probably shooting great video. But as far as the audio that's built into these phones and these cameras, it's likely shit. I mean, really. So the reason why is these microphones are built, they're not designed to capture focused audio on what's right in front of me. They're capturing audio from everywhere. So right now, if I was recording this on my phone, we'd be hearing the echo of the speakers, we'd be hearing every single little movement or anything that's happening in the room. And it's really hard for the viewers when they're watching this beautiful looking video to focus in on what's really happening because the audio is so kind of distorted and echoey and all of that stuff. So, and I learned this the hard way. I started making videos, didn't think about audio, and then I'd be listening to them and listening to other videos from competitors or just people that do good YouTube videos, and I'm noticing, like, the audio sounds so good. Well, of course, they're using certain type of equipment. So here's your hacks. For your phones, for Android or iPhone, you can just go to Amazon and search for lavalier mic. Don't ask me how to spell it, but Amazon will figure it out. Lavalier mic for Android, for whatever phone you have. A lot of them will have in the description that they work with specific Android phones, with specific iPhones. Obviously, the newer iPhones don't have a headphone jack. Some Android phones don't have a headphone jack. So you have to make sure that you really search for what your connection is to your phone. And that way, it'll provide you with that $20, $30 lavalier mic, which is basically what I have on right now. The only difference with those is they're completely wired. They go right to your phone, and they have kind of this long cord. That's your best audio option for your phones. Yes, there's wireless ones, but they get super expensive, and obviously I get nervous when the wireless stuff happens because I don't know if the audio is going to cut in and out. So that's your best option there. Your second best option, if you can't do and by the way, a lot of their mics can also hook up to audio recorders like what you're seeing there. There's so many different audio recorder brands. They're standalone devices that allow you to hook up mics, that allow you to point and get directional audio from a subject that you're talking to. They're kind of an all-in-one audio recorder that you can then later on match up to your videos and get the really good audio in your really good video and delete that bad audio that originally was in your video. So this is the second option, and I just would search again on Amazon for audio recorders. You're going to find a lot of different ones. The more expensive ones like this are going to range from $100 to $200 because they have multiple input ports, so you can have two people mic'd, You can have various audio being recorded at the same time. You can have a headphone plugged in to make sure the audio sounds good. All of these things has got a built-in screen to show you the levels. And then you can find some that are around $40, $50 that just allow you to input one audio mic and it just records audio. And they work just as good. So that's the second option. So phone, lavalier mic, standalone audio recorder. Third option, final option, is a directional mic, like this one that's attached to this camera. They have a standard 3.5 millimeter jack that will plug into most semi-new phones, because a lot of the newer phones are eliminating the headphone jack, but that's your standard port. And you can, if you usually get those without a headphone jack, you have the dongle, so you can join the dongle life and plug that in your dongle into your phone and get good audio. But these will also tie into cameras. A lot of DSLR cameras will tie directly in and give you much better directional audio. Okay, so I'm spending a lot of time talking about this because I'm not kidding you. It makes and breaks your video. If you have good audio, people will want to continue to listen. If you have bad audio where it's hard to decipher what's being said, even though it might look great, they're going to move on. Good so far? Yeah, all right. Okay, the second hack here is, if you don't want to invest in umbrella lights whenever you're recording on the fly and carrying around these lights everywhere you go, that's just not working for me. I always try to look for natural light sources, because if I was recording someone in this room right now, as you can tell, there's sort of this yellow hue in the room, and that's typically what happens in most indoor rooms. The recording is going to be a little bit darker. There's going to be this yellow hue where we're going to look really discolored and kind of yellow, and it's really hard in editing to brighten that up without distorting the video and taking away some of the quality. So if you can find natural light, like literally where that lovely lady is sitting with the pink shirt right by the window, you're in perfect light. If you'd want to just do this real quick. Yeah, there you go. You're in perfect light. Like, I would have the camera right there pointing right at you. You're getting really great light from natural light, and that's where we would do the interview. People may not know there's a window right there, but they're seeing this really good white light. Worst case scenario, if you're in an office setting where you're doing a lot of these videos and you just don't have a lot of windows, then you do have to make a little investment in some studio lights. Again, you don't have to go super expensive with it. We got some studio lighting called Cowboy Studio from Amazon that was $60, and they were two stands with these umbrella lights that projected these white lights wherever we pointed it to. So, but again, we do a lot of live streaming, do a lot of event coverage. We can't be carrying on these big lights. So a lot of times you can find little LED lights on Amazon that'll plug into your tripod setup to give you some spotlight in the moment too. Okay, and then finally, free editing software. So the good news here, editing software can be super expensive, but for Mac and Windows, there are some free options that give you enough power to make some pretty good edits, pretty basic edits of cutting, splicing things together, matching up audio, adding in different shots to make the video more interesting. So I'm going to go over some of these. This is kind of going to be one of the big, I'm going to write this down moments. So for Mac, the creme de la creme is iMovie. Probably no surprise, but this is completely free for any Mac user. You can download it free in the App Store. And they also have a version for your mobile phone. So if you have an iPhone, you can get iMovie, which is really basic on the phone, but it allows you to do some stuff on the fly. There are other free versions like Adobe Spark and things like that. But this one is good because it gives you a foundation that if you start to do more editing and get serious and your company decides to invest in editing software, you go up to Final Cut Pro, there's barely a learning curve. You're just going to have way more features in Final Cut Pro, but iMovie is basically your foundation for that. So iMovie for Mac, then I'm going to give you three options for Windows. And these are just based on research I use. I live the Mac life for editing, but this is time and time again the ones that come up as really good free resources. So this first one is Lightworks. You can't really see the URL, but it's lwks.com. These are all like freemium, you get a basic free version that lets you do pretty much everything you need to do for basic editing. And then if you want to buy their premium package, you get more editing options, but you don't have to. Same thing with the next two. Next one is HitFilm Express. URL there is hitfilm.com. Again, their websites all look very different, but they all do the same thing. And then the one that looks the best on the web is DaVinci Resolve, but they're all pretty much the same kind of free editing software. So you can try all of these out and figure out the one that you think is easiest for you to use. You can try just one of these. This URL, by the way, is a little random, but it's blackmagicdesign.com, because of course it is. DaVinci Resolve, Blackmagic Design. So there's your hacks. Any questions so far? Good? All right. We're going to have time for questions, too, at the end. So next, let's get into lead gen. Let's face it, this is what we're all here for. How can we go back to our organization and implement new strategies that are going to drive more dollar bills, right? Yes. Okay, here we go. This is usually where I confuse a lot of people. All right, so how many show of hands have ever heard of UTMs? All right, so it's about half of the room. So for those that don't know about it, it's okay. I was there not long ago myself. UTMs are also known as campaign builders, campaign URL builders. Really, the reason why I'm talking about this, which by the way, this on its own could be a whole separate presentation, so just trust me that you can dig into this and figure it out, but I'm going to give you a very high-level overview. So the reason why I'm focusing on UTMs for you guys is not just for videos. It's really for any of your digital marketing, any of your social media marketing. This is a way to get deep link tracking. Is it 100% foolproof? No, nothing is. But what we're trying to solve for here is a problem with social media marketing, which is dark social. Roughly about 70 to 80% of all of our social media posts go to dark social, which is a scary name, which basically means you're not able to really track it in your Google Analytics, your HubSpot, whatever tool you're using to track how you're getting conversions or how you're getting website traffic, because that dark social, that stuff that's not being tracked, is going into direct source as the category, meaning that supposedly those people typed in the super long URL directly and went directly to that website, which is not possible. So it just loses its tracking through the interwebs, the firewalls, the work, you know, internets, all of that stuff, private browsing, it goes away. UTMs, or using Google's campaign URL builder, allows you to combat that by adding sort of a longer link of code, essentially, to your URL. And you basically, you put in the website that you're driving people to. So if it's a sign-up form or a buy now form or something, whatever you're driving them to from your video or your social media campaign, you put that URL in this form, you fill out a couple more sections in the form that it directs you to, which allows you to say it's a social media campaign. It allows you to put in what social network you're promoting this on. So if it's Facebook, if it's YouTube, if it's Instagram, you can put that in there. And then it generates the URL, which is the same URL but longer with a lot of extra stuff. That's the code. And that's the URL that you shorten and put out there in your campaign. What happens is if people actually click based on a video, they look at the description, they click, they go, they convert, in your analytics, you're going to be able to see that site click, the channel that it was clicked on, and what specific video caused them to click on it. That's the deep link tracking that you want. Because on the surface, if you're just using like a Bitly kind of tracking solution, you're getting site click, maybe the channel that it happened on, and that's it. You don't know what video, what source caused that conversion. You actually don't even know that it converted because you can't see that in Bitly. So all I'm going to say is if you Google campaign URL builder, you'll find this form. It's a web form made by Google. And this only works when you're driving people to your domain, your URL. So for us, it's bethematch.org/whatever we want. That's going to tie into our Google Analytics. If you're using this for promoting a news article that you saw that's related to what you do, but it doesn't go to your website, the link will still click, but it won't give you any data on that because it's only for your Google Analytics, okay? I'm not going to ask you if you have any questions about this because I'm sure you do, and we don't have time for it, but trust me and feel free to connect with me on social if you have more questions. I'm happy to jump on a call with you and walk you through this, make it make more sense. We spent about 15 minutes yesterday in the workshop going over this, and I still don't think we answered everyone's questions. So it's such a good thing to do once you do it, once you figure it out. You won't go back because you're going to get more data on how your campaigns are performing, and it's going to show more ROI for you. The next one, the second one, is place a CTA within the video description. This sounds another like duh, but here's the backstory of this. So this was recorded last week. This is me doing a live stream with a couple amazing people. As you can kind of see in the description, Austin on the left is a New Orleans Saints football player in the NFL. 2 years ago, he was on the Be the Match registry. His football team signed up. He did the cheek swab, sent it in, kind of forgot about it for several years. 2 years ago, he got a call that he was a perfect match to a patient in need. He didn't ask any questions. He's like, what do I need to do? So he went to his local transplant center. For him, he donated his stem cells, so it wasn't a bone marrow transplant. Those went off to the anonymous patient. He didn't know who Roy was, who this is the guy in the middle. And Roy didn't know who Austin was, didn't know that he was the one that was transplanting, doing this transplant. And so Roy, at the time, 2 years ago, had 6 months to live. 2 years later, during the NFL week in Minneapolis, we flew them both out to meet for the first time. NFL Films was there, and they had exclusive rights to capture that moment of them meeting for the first time. And then me being sneaky, about 5 minutes after that meeting, I was able to grab them for a quick live stream, and we had a five-minute conversation. So there's some context to this video. It was pretty amazing. So the reason why I'm giving you that is because you're not watching the video. So our plan, our thought, when we did the live stream, we just had the first paragraph in the live stream. As soon as the live stream was done, we went in and we edited the post. We added kind of a little bit of politics, but the organization in Oklahoma that or in Kansas that did the transplant wanted credit, which they should get because they were the ones that actually did the transplant to Roy from Austin's stem cells. So we added that, tagged them. Then we also added our call to action. We want to make sure our call to action is kind of the last thing people see because we don't want it to be distasteful. We want people to focus on the story, get them to watch the video, and then when they're inspired after watching the video, make it easy for them to take action. Make sure there's a link to click. And this is pure organic. Pure organic, we've gotten nearly 20,000 views, over 1,000 shares. This is the kind of stuff that people love on social media. And we've generated a lot of registrations for this video. No money in it yet, but we will eventually be boosting it to raise more awareness. So, moral of the story, to have a link. Same thing in YouTube. You know, in your description, make sure that there's a link that's super easy to find that takes people to where you want to go, where you want them to go to take action. A lot of people put a description on at any URL, and if they're watching the video and they're inspired and they want to take action, you're making it difficult for them, they're going to move on. The third and final one is captioning. So we're going to talk about why captioning is important for Facebook and why it's important for YouTube. They're very different. And obviously this is, you know, for the hearing impaired, of course, it's great for that. But outside of that, can anyone tell me why captioning on Facebook is super important? I didn't hear anything. I'm sorry. Say it louder. Bingo. Bingo. So because you're scrolling, when you're thumb scrolling, you see those videos autoplay. If there's not a captioned file in that video, it'll just autoplay without any sound, right? If there's a caption file and you're thumbing through, if there's a caption file, it'll automatically show the captions. And again, if you have a good story and your first 5 seconds have a really compelling message, then you're going to be able to see those captions, and that's going to engage more people to click. Outside of that, for YouTube, there's no autoplay on YouTube. But if you caption your videos on YouTube, it'll allow for your video to be more searchable. It actually provides better indexing for your videos. So again, if you have a caption file that you've created and put into YouTube, your videos are going to be more searchable. Okay, so lastly, production. So B-roll, if you're not familiar with this, it's just a term that means secondary footage to help bring to life what's being said in your videos. And here's a good example. This is actually one of our searching patients, Sheldon. He's talking.
My biggest hope is that I can experience everything this world has to offer.
So he's talking through this video. We actually never see a shot of him talking on camera.
I have a rare blood disorder called aplastic anemia.
But these are shots of him living his life.
I need to survive.
Had a camera,
and the cells I do produce destroy each other.
He's a beautiful dancer.
2 years ago,
he's going to college.
Horrible. I was graduating high school.
He's talking about the history of his diagnosis and how he needs a marrow transplant.
Does I get tired? Does I get lightheaded?
Do
I get muscle cramps because of some medication?
And so all of these shots
like at the
are moments that,
I'm
that we
not
just
even
took throughout
mad
the day.
Or sad anymore.
And
this
what
isn't
we did
a life
like
that someone my age should be
like
living. This isn't something that someone my age should be
and
going
through.
And
it just adds more of an element to the story. And this is him dancing, practicing his dancing.
For me to overcome
just shows
this
the
blood
beauty
disorder,
of a person
I need
versus
a bone marrow
just
transplant.
Watching someone talk to a camera.
Betamatch has a registry which helps patients locate.
So so that's Sheldon. He's one of, like, his story is one of the most impactful stories that we have on social right now for driving registrations, because people are inspired to try to help him, but he's also saying, you can, you know, you may not be a match to me, but you can help someone else out there. So outside of B-roll, a next tip is to keep it simple. KISS, keep it simple. So obviously this means shorter videos. I don't want to throw out a specific time, because let's face it, it depends on the video and the content. But I'm going to show you a 30-second video right now. Yeah, you know I added the dot. Yeah, there was a typo on here yesterday. They're laughing. Okay. So I'm going to show you a 30-second clip of a searching patient called Hanley. It's super cute. The mom recorded this on her phone. She added a couple, like, words popping up of what the kids were saying because they are still learning how to speak. And all we did was we added a call to action at the end. So this is a super short video that just, after you watch it, you're like, so cute, I want to help. Like, here it goes.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, bye. Hi, bye.
What's this little baby's name?
Henny.
Henny. Can you say B?
B.
The?
The.
Match.
Match.
For?
For.
Henny. Say, we love you. Say bye-bye.
So cute, right? And I mean, that's, we barely did anything to that video. She just sent us that, and it's like, that just tells the story. And then finally, repurpose your content. So again, I talked about earlier how you can do Instagram stories, Snapchat stories. If you're trying to do like a sizzle reel of just everything that kind of culminates a specific event you try to cover or happening, you know, make sure that you download these Instagram stories. This is at us at the Super Bowl stuff last week. Again, we're setting it up. We're going to show our space with some VR headsets that we were using to educate people about how hard it is to find a match. So we're talking about that. But this is great stuff that just adds a new element to a video that you could produce where you jump to these kind of clips. And it's great because then you're promoting your other social channels. So people now see that you're on Instagram, and they'll be more likely to follow you on Instagram. So this is just a great way to make that happen. And you can kind of see here that we have little swabs as the controllers. This is kind of the cute way of just making it look funny and fun and more entertaining. So that's our space. Okay, so just as a reminder, this is usually where people whip out their phones and take pictures. So this is the recap of everything that we talked about. You'll have access to these slides online too, so you can get that there. But again, for strategy, you want to make sure that you determine how your video ties to your overall content strategy. You want to make sure that every story has a beginning, middle, and end, and then finally identify that ROI of your videos. For hacks, you know, master that good audio, lighting, make sure that lighting is good, and leverage free video editing software. Lead gen, make sure that you have deep link tracking with the UTMs. Always add CTAs to every video that you post. Caption your videos. Just more work for all of us, right? But this is going to make your videos more impactful. And then finally, production, like we just went over, make sure that you use B-roll whenever you can. Avoid those lengthy videos by keeping it simple. And then finally, repurpose your videos from other mediums. So we're going to skip this one because we're kind of low on time. But I'm going to finish this off with an opportunity for all of you. I think through this, hopefully you learned some tips and tricks about video. But obviously through this, you also learn a little bit about Be The Match. So I actually worked with the organization before I came here to make a unique URL for Social Media Strategy Summit. If you are inspired to join Be The Match and get a swab kit in the mail, swab your cheeks and be a part of the registry, this is the direct link you can go to, join.bethematch.org/SMS summit. And you can spend 5 minutes registering online, and then by the time you get home, you'll get a kit within a day or two, and you can be on the registry. So with that, I want to thank you all. And I don't know if we have time for questions. One or two questions. So let's start with that before we wrap it up. Questions? Yeah.
This might be an easy answer, but for Facebook Live, can you do it horizontally? I noticed on your live it was a horizontal.
Yeah, why horizontal versus vertical?
No, how do you, because when I flipped it horizontal, it actually is like.
It's like still vertical or something?
Yeah.
So my only thought there, are you using Android or iPhone?
iPhone.
Okay, is your iPhone completely updated with all the, like, news,
yeah.
Facebook, everything?
Yeah.
And you're using the Facebook page manager?
Yeah.
Huh. It should work, because we did it. Yeah. So the thing that we did was we had it vertical. We typed in everything, and then as soon as I rotated it, I made sure that it actually rotated to the horizontal, and it did.
So you rotated it when you were already live?
No, we rotated it after we typed, because we typed up all the stuff.
Yeah.
And then before I put it in the mount, we rotated it, and I made sure that the screen went horizontal, and then we mounted it, and it was good to go live there.
Okay.
So I just kind of checked it before we went live.
Okay. All right, thanks.
I don't know. Sorry. What other questions? We had maybe one or two more that we can do. Yeah, so just wait for the mic if you
I'll
can.
I'll bring the mic to you
recording.
1 second.
Thank you.
Sorry. Thanks. Thanks. So I have a basic question about the copy you're using with your CTA link in the copy.
Oh, yeah.
So we find, and maybe it's just us, we find that with an organic video post, if we include a link in the copy, our reach decreases by like 50%. Do you find that that's true with your organic videos and still worth it for the clicks?
So, I mean, it's a tough answer because fortunately, based on what we do, we get really good organic reach, even in this world of organic is tough. And we made a commitment about a year ago to always have a link in every single video, so we don't really have good A/B testing with that because we never want to leave them hanging if they are inspired, and most of our content is super inspirational, as you could tell. So I'm probably not the best person to answer for that because I don't have the right, I guess, not the right type of organization for it. But I think it's a tough question because ultimately, if you're putting a video out there, you want to be able to find some type of ROI from it. And if the link's not there, I mean, I guess it's a question you need to ask. If you see a 50% drop in organic, but out of that 50% drop, you're still getting clicks to your site. Are those worth it based on that organic drop? It's tough. And then, you know, maybe a good way to A/B test is if you have really meaningful content you want to drive people to, put the link in that. But if you're also doing some kind of culture post or like a live stream that's just talking about here's what's happening in our office on a Friday, we're having some fun, those obviously don't necessarily need to have a link, right? So maybe if you want to test with those and see how those perform and then do some A/B testing with more of that core content that you want to drive people to, maybe those non-link ones will help with organic reach with those that have a link. Good question. And then I think you had a question, Justin, yeah? Jason.
Thanks, Ryan. Just one question. What's your DSL camera that you use there? What model is that?
Yeah, first of all, I love your accent. Second of all, so this is a new toy. It's a Canon 6D Mark II. There's so many good cameras out there. But I think the only downfall of this one is it doesn't shoot in 4K, which for us, we don't. It's overkill. We don't need 4K. But it does a lot of great things. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it because there's so many good cameras out there. So do we have time for one more? There's one
we'll
in the
do.
Back.
Hello.
Hi.
What are your thoughts on square videos versus the more traditional resolution?
That's a good question. So I typically will try to do a standard traditional version for our raw video that we're recording. And the reason why is because that's more of the universal version. You know, some people are now with Apple TVs that we're hopefully going to be giving away based on your stamps. You know, they'll display it on the full screen, and if people are watching content on there, that's going to be a good experience. But obviously for Instagram, Facebook, you can have any size video, any size picture, and Facebook just figures it out. But then when you go on to places like LinkedIn, which is in some ways 10 years behind on things, in other ways they're fine, they have a hard time with dimensions. So if it's not standard, it like cuts off sides and just looks weird. So I think it's good to start with standard image, your standard 1080 kind of dimensions. And then in your video editing, if you're repurposing the video for different places, make sure that you do the square or whatever for Instagram. You think about the platform that you're going to share it on and optimize that video just like you would an image for that social network. Okay? I think we're out of time? Well, thank you all. Hopefully this was helpful. Thank you.